Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
My confidence level, we hadn't played a game yet. My confidence level's at the full, you know, it's at the top. So, that's what, I mean, my confidence level doesn't come from me. It comes from, you know, from above. That's, I'm one of the luckiest guys in the world. I was brought here for this. And, you know, we, you know, do something great and worry about other people's confidence.
When he says his confidence is, it's not him, it's from above, does he mean God or does he mean the commissioner's office who installed him as the manager?
No, the commissioner's office didn't install him. God installed him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's not Manfred he's not talking about who gave him all the confidence?
No.
It's God?
Yeah, he comes from above.
Okay.
He believes.
Well, when he said above, I didn't mean, Manfred. There's a reason I'm here.
Maybe it's Jim Crane he was talking about.
Well, above. If he's on the ground, where's Jim Crane's office?
His office is upstairs.
Yeah.
The guy above.
So maybe that's the guy above, Jim Crane.
Can the guy above keep Carlos Correa here? Yeah? Yeah?
Carlos Correa wore a shirt that said, thank you. And I had Astrid. I'm kind of starting to get on my nerves. I don't want constant reminders that Carlos is leaving. The Astros won't pay him. I know it's smart not to give a guy a 10-year, $30 million deal. I think when Carlos finally gets paid, we're all going to look at the contract and go, whew, that would have been a lot. That would have been a lot to invest in a single player, hoping that he would be really good for 80% of his career.
So, in the long run, they're going to be right.
At Carlos's press conference, the first, I guess, his opening statement, I don't know if somebody asked a question. They cut it out of there. But he basically, it was just.
Play it.
Yeah, it was like 45 seconds of
play
just,
it.
I love you, thank you.
Do you have it?
Yeah. You have it? Yeah, play it.
It's been an unbelievable journey, honestly. Coming to the team, like you said, 2015. Before then, we were a losing organization. Now people expect us to be in the playoffs every single year come 2021. So it's been a great journey. We've grown together as a team in that clubhouse. We've gotten better together. And, you know, that's the reason why we've accomplished so much in this sport and why we're in the playoffs this year again. When we're losing 111 games one year, now, you know, that's not the case anymore. And that tells you about the hard work in the front office. That tells you about the hard work in the clubhouse. I'm talking about players and coaches. So really proud of what this organization has been able to accomplish.
It's kind of crazy that it has been 7 years with Carlos. This is the seventh year. Now, he's had some injuries and we had a COVID year or whatever, but you know, run the math on it. It's a seven-year journey, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21.
You're a numbers guy.
As a numbers guy, it's one of the things that I've, a lot of people say, 21 minus 15, that's 6 years. No. Actually, as a numbers guy, you have to count the 15.
That's right.
And you count the 21.
No,
it's different.
I'm proud of you. Yeah.
So you guys need to reassess how you don't just subtract 21 from 15 and say, Carlos has been here 6 years. You're going to come up.
Yeah.
You're going to end up on the losing end of that one in a bar bet at some point.
Right.
How many years did Carlos Correa play here? He started in 15, he ended in 21, and you're going to be like, to six,
well,
and you're going to lose money or a drink.
Well,
on that.
Actually, if you want to be technical about it.
Well, actually.
Well, actually, guy. Yeah.
He didn't miss a whole year.
He didn't come in until.
Service time.
Yeah. So he could play 7 years. And then how much time he missed, it's actually added up to about
five. He was
five.
In the playoffs. That's true.
True.
Yeah, games played.
Yeah.
He's played like 4.5 seasons. No, I mean, games he missed from injury and in a COVID season isn't 162.
Well, actually, let's take that a look at total number
of... How many games played?
So how many games played do you think Carlos has had?
450.
No more.
A little bit north of that.
So I would say, let's see. So it's 4-1. So I'd say 520.
752.
What?
7 years, 752.
How's that possible?
Well, I mean, he doesn't miss. He averages. Don't forget, he played.
How many years?
Well, last year was only a 60 game season.
That's what I'm saying.
He played more games than anybody on the Astros this year. 148 this year.
Okay.
You're also counting. He averages 100 games a year.
Also, all the
Don't forget, his second post-season. Year he was healthy. He played 153, then 109, 110. I mean, he averages 100 a year. 100 year.
But there wasn't 100 last year. It wasn't even close to 100. That should knock out the average.
Well, but don't forget, he had 153 his second year. So
that's way more games than I expected.
Yeah.
Does that count?
And 148 this year. So
does that count playoffs?
No, that's regular season.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way more games than I expected with Carlos's injury history, too.
And what has he done in the postseason? How many games has he played in postseason?
Oh, it's like high 50s, I think.
63.
Yeah.
Yeah. 63. So 5 years, 13 series, 63 games. And here's three more or five more. We'll see how many more. Hopefully we'll get a bunch more. Hopefully we'll get a bunch more on Carlos Correa. If they win it all, I don't know how you get rid of them. I just don't. Because then you know your pitching is good enough. You don't need to go out and get that big ace. Secondly, he is so important to that clubhouse. He's going to cause them. I don't think Jim Crane – told his agent, though, said, I don't give out $200 million deals. I mean, Jose Altuve had a 7-year, $200 million deal. He says, it's hard to make $200 million. So guess what? I'm not giving out those deals. And I don't know that it's a bad philosophy, if you want to know the truth.
Right.
I really don't. It's not.
It's not. I mean, my emotion says one thing. The practical, pragmatic side says this. It's not the best way to build a team. I mean, the Yankees do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and look,
it doesn't work out.
Do you think they regret Gerrit Cole's deal right now?
Yeah, I think last year I do. And I think they, last year, 19, remember how they regretted Giancarlo Stanton's deal? Remember when we were in New York, how pissed they all were?
Yeah.
Right, about like, oh my God, Stanton, what a waste of money. Yeah. They were going crazy about that.
By the time it's all said and done, they won't regret Gerrit Cole.
I just think you can't have, you see how many good players there are. You can't have Carlos Correa making $300 million and then Bregman down here, Yordan down here. You just, it's a model. You know when you do that, Tatis, when you have a guy who's clearly maybe even,
and you know,
maybe even Guerrero also.
And you know how many games they won this year?
Yeah, exactly.
And,
you know,
and oh, by the way, Manny Machado, of all people, had to get on his ass.
Yeah.
He was pissed at him.
It's a problem when your young player has to have a veteran get on the young
and
player.
And Manny Machado, of all people?
Yeah.
The guy who doesn't like to run to first?
I know. And this is the guy, now who you have invested in for 14 years. You've invested, and you did 14 years so you could afford the total amount of money so you could spread out the payments. The Padres. You immediately don't make the playoffs, and he's got injury issues two different times this year. Oh, my God. The Padres, it's going to go down. Look, he'll have some – Tatis is a phenomenon. He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But the reality is, if he's already getting injured, it's not out of the question that 8 years are good years, and then you have injury-prone years, and like 6 years or three of the years are bad, three of the years are filled with injury, and then 8 years are good. Is that a good contract? It's going to be an albatross at some point. His contract's going to be an albatross. Carlos's contract at some point is going to be an albatross. The same thing was Alex Rodriguez. When he got that deal, at some point you're like, yeah, this isn't great. It was almost immediate when they signed Pujols, the Angels, almost immediately regretted that contract.
Yes.
It's hard, man. It is hard for that contract. And then it also creates issues in the locker room. Because other guys want to get paid what Carlos is getting paid.
All right, so my brother's got a couple of guys coming in for Game 5, and he said, "Can you get them tickets?" I was like, yeah, simple seats.
Yeah.
I mean, that's nothing.
Simple
it's
seats.
It's easy.
Yeah, I'm going to check right now to see if you can get into. See, I got my seats from Simple Seats the other day, two tickets. I want to see. Oh, my gosh, it's dropped further. You can get in to today's game. You can get in the door for $29.
Shut up.
$29 right now.
Why infield, did I buy early?
Oh, my God. Well, you know, lower level infield right now, $80.
Shut up.
$80 for the ticket, lower level infield seats. Wow, $40 for lower level corner, $40 for lower level outfield.
Shut this is the front door. Yeah,
unbelievable. All at simpleseats.com. I don't know how they do it. Honestly, Mike over there, he came over from the Astros. He was on the business side. He's got a model right now where he does Texans and Longhorns and Cougars and Aggies and Dynamo and Astros. That's his market and his model. And he gets these prices that he buys, you know, he gets them on the secondary market. And then he is saying, I'm going to sell them with no fees. So when you go to the checkout, there's no fees. And when you go there, I'm going to let you either pick by zone or pick by your seat, your specific seats. If you do it by zone, right now, a $14 additional savings on your lower level infield seats, and that's how you can get them for $80 on the zone pricing. Simple Seats is incredible. I have not seen a ticket company like this, and it's available right here in Houston. SimpleSeats.com. Use promo code Lance10, and they're going to drop $10 off of your purchase of $25 or more. SimpleSeats.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 817 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 737-803-776.
Well, just real quick, on the, we mentioned the Simple Seats is an average, and I really do, their prices are...
It's unbelievable.
Are unbelievable, and their business model is unbelievable. Lance10 is the promo code.
So my brother's got people coming in. Literally, I told him, just go to Simple Seats. It's so easy.
Yeah. I couldn't believe what they're going for today, but you said it's because it's early.
Yeah, I know. Today's three. My guy, Martin, is a ticket guy. He goes, wait, don't buy tickets. I said, I already bought them. He's like, no, you got them right before the game. A 1 o'clock game is a disaster for ticket brokers.
Is it really?
Yeah. They never go up. They're always going to go down. A day game is very difficult for business people to go to. So always wait until the end, and you can get your tickets for a better price.
They're lower now.
I got them early.
I was happy with my price. They're lower now than when I bought them.
And I could have saved $70 a seat. I mean, and I got four
even lower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could have saved like $300.
The tickets keep going down.
Is it an app or just
a
website?
No, it's just a website.
It's a website.
They're going to make the app, but it's like they started in March.
Yeah, they're probably.
I said, this guy's a really, Mike, who owns it, it's a very small business. He's just starting off. He came over from the Astros. He was there for 7 or 8 years. He's from like, he went to Harvard. He's a smart guy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so he's smart. And I'm thinking, you don't have any.
He helped me out, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, these.
Because I went to StubHub. Holy crap, did they add on?
No.
It was $55 more.
You think
per
you got
ticket.
A price, and then you're like, yeah. Can you just tell me? Like, I don't know about you. I would rather restaurants. I would be okay if restaurants put gratuity in. I would be okay if restaurants put gratuity in, and then just like,
yeah.
Here's your bill. Oh, great. Bing. You're done. Like I tip
some restaurants
tip fine.
Do, because
well, if your parties are six or more, eight or
well,
more,
yeah, but, ten or
but
more.
But if they made it a standard thing where they said, look, we're gonna put the tip in the price, or you don't have to tip, we're gonna bake your basically what your service would be into the cost of dining, then that would be fine. You know exactly. I mean, the tip is your decision what you're gonna give on tip, but it's the same thing with price. Don't show me your prices unless you're showing me all your stupid fees. I got tickets for Tom Segura on the one of my favorite comedians, Tom Segura.
You got him for him? For what show?
When he comes to the Smart Financial.
Oh.
The fees they put on there, it just pisses me off.
Yeah.
It just pisses me off. I'm like, Mike, can you please do something with
Smart Financial tickets?
Can you please get, yeah, can Simple Seats start doing comedy shows too?
Yeah.
Mike. So I don't have to pay these.
Come on, Mike, pick
fees.
It up.
I know. I use some ticket side, and it's like, here's your tickets. Oh, here's your convenience fee. Like, this is the most ironic name of all time.
Yeah.
This is the biggest inconvenience.
All right. Pat Forty's coming up in about 10 minutes. So let's get some calls in here because they all want to talk about Korea. Jack, what's going on, Jack?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I do want to talk about the Correa signing him and stuff. I have a quick question. It's old news, but I was thinking about it, and I would love to have y'all's opinion. With the Bill O'Brien trying to get fired and stuff, doing all the stupid stuff he did, and speculation that Urban Meyer's trying to get fired out, which I don't think he is, but maybe so, I don't know. What looks worse, trying to get fired or quitting on the job? And Carlos Correa, the Killer Bees mentioned that he's only 27 years old, and we should have given him a 10- to 7-year contract. A 7-year contract doesn't sound bad. He'll be 34. He'll still be in his prime, maybe, especially with the technology nowadays with rehabilitation and all that stuff. We'll have to offer him like a 7. Can we do a 4- or 5-year deal and still keep him here in Houston? And I think we have a lot of trade assets we can do to bring in some top-notch pitchers or some solid pitchers. Thank y'all and have a great day.
Okay, 7 years, $200 million. You do it? Yeah.
It's Carlos ain't doing it. I would do it with Carlos. No, he wants 300.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the magic number. It's not even about how much money you spend.
I don't care.
It's about the respect of the position. And Carlos wants to be held in the same regard as Lindor and Tatis. I get it. You know, I get it. I think I think you do have to be careful. Gerrit Cole is an example. Gerrit Cole wanted to go play for his childhood team and all this and that. And is it so great now? I'm not saying that he loved it in Houston. I don't know. He seemed to be ready to get out right after the game was over in 2019, Game 7. But is this everything you had ever hoped and dreamed of? Is this what you wanted, Garrett?
Yeah.
Is this
and
everything?
And Carlos wants to be here.
And Carlos wants to be here. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. The difference between $300 million and $200 million, I get it. $100 million is a ton of money.
It's a lot of money.
But if you consider the fact that you'll never spend that much money in your entire life, more than likely, and that Carlos is going to have other, you know, he's going to have other marketing deals and this, that, and the other. Carlos would be happy in Houston. Daniela would be happy in Houston with their life they have right now. They would be happy. But leaving that money, that is like, that's just chasing a number because it puts you in a certain tier. And it puts you in a tier with guys that you want to be mentioned with. It's not the cash. It's the number. I've said that for forever. Contracts, and once you get to a certain level of sport, it's less about the money you spend, and it's more about the number that represents your value or your respect in the league. That's what it is. And that's why Alex Bregman would probably at some point, if Alex sees Carlos get a certain number, his ego at some point is probably going to say, I want to have that number. I want that number. Like, I should be held in that same regard. I've been a more consistent hitter. Yordan Alvarez, at some point, his agent's going to be like, hey, this guy, we got the young poppy here. This guy is a bomber. He's got to have that number 30 also per year. And it's going to open up, like, it's going to open up the floodgates. And I would be happy with him taking a 7-year, $210 million deal, 30 times 7.
Yeah.
I'd be happy with that. I just think Carlos wants to chase the number 300.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it. You can't get there if you're the Astros.
Let's get
you shouldn't get there if you're the Astros.
No,
you shouldn't get 300.
You can't.
That's not being a good steward.
I don't even think he'll do two.
It's not being a good steward of the purse strings for the team to maintain competitiveness.
I don't think he'll do two. I don't. Let's get Max in here. Hey, Max.
Hey, guys. First of all, I just want to get to a rant about the LA. Screw the people of LA. You got the Dodgers, the Lakers, the freaking Rams, and freaking, what's that other team?
Chargers.
The Chargers. And you got a city like the LA getting all the sports glory, a city that's already got the venue, Hollywood, everything, and then it's sports glory as well. I mean, the Rams and the Chargers are afterthoughts. No one cares about those teams in LA, and I feel so bad for them. So I wanted to get that little rant in. But my Astros question is actually, so heading into postseason, it's not really about contract talk. It's just about heading into postseason. What Astro player is under the most pressure? I know everybody wants to say Carlos Correa is, but I actually think it's Alex Bregman. Only solely on the fact that Alex Bregman, he's been a really good regular season player, but in the postseason, he hasn't really performed as great as Altuve and Correa have. And so And then last year was a great example. Everybody, it seemed like everybody was hitting, and he was the only one that wasn't. And it was kind of like that again in 2019 in the World Series. So I think this is a bit, this heading to the postseason, I'm really interested to see how Alex Redmond does, because I think this is, he's got to really have a big postseason, in my opinion, to get rub off that reputation of possibly being a guy who's good in the regular season but doesn't come up in the postseason. And I want to know, I just want to know, who, is there anyone on the Astros who you guys are going to, who you guys think is under a little bit of pressure? And I'll hang up and listen.
That's a pretty, you know, the two, the, Alex is a pretty good one based on last year. That's actually, now,
I think Jordan will have a little pressure because he didn't perform in the postseason.
I wrote down Jordan.
Yeah.
He didn't play in 20, and in 19, it was like
he wasn't good.
It was like you knew Jordan was dead. You knew that, like, we don't have the rookie of the year Jordan.
Right.
He's not, he just isn't showing up right now. What do you think Alex Bregman is postseason? What do you think his career batting average is? And OPS.
Alex Bregman's career. Postseason.
17 through 20.
His postseason.
And this goes to the caller's point. Is he under the most pressure? What do you think his OPS is and batting average?
I know he homered against the Red Sox. He's homered again. He homered against the
Dodgers.
He's got
11 home runs.
Yeah.
That's in 250 plate appearances, 210 at-bats, 11 home runs. That's good.
Also,
I'll say his OPS is about 680. That's bad.
So disrespectful.
No, a little bit.
680.
What is it?
What's disrespectful? I just told you he had 11 home runs.
Yeah, I know.
777. Hitting 229. 348 on base.
That's not good.
348 on base, not bad. 429 slugging, a little lower than you expect.
That's, no, okay. I was a little disrespectful. No. You were a little disrespectful. 777
is a little, I mean, that's, you went 600 is a little disrespectful.
All right. Pat Forty's next. 827 ESPN. Yes, I would agree. Bregman's got to, he's got to step up this
I think
Jordan's going to step up. I think he does too.
I think he absolutely is. Jordan Alvarez is, what? That can't be right. Jordan's hitting, 241.
Yeah.
With 668 OPS.
That's who I was thinking
58
of.
58 at-bats. I think Jordan
I was
has
right
that
dead on. I was thinking of Jordan.
I think Jordan and McCullers are the two.
Pat 40 next on ESPN 97.5.
Underdog Fantasy is also next for you because you got Thursday night football. Listen, I know that you guys, it's actually a pretty good game, Rams and Seahawks. This is a big game in that division. This is a good game. There's a lot of fantasy stars in this game, a lot of guys who are going to score. So even though you'll be watching your playoff baseball in the afternoon, when you get home at night, you got some football going on, and that would be a great time to play, to go to underdogfantasy.com and play your daily fantasy between those two teams. You can play head to head. That's my favorite thing on Thursday nights, to play head to head, a $25 matchup, but you can do a $100 matchup head to head if you'd like. You've got so many different variables. You have an entire game set up where you play against multiple people, a much larger group. And, of course, you have weekend games coming up. And don't forget, you can do over-unders. So you can pick your over-unders for this Thursday's game, anywhere between 2 and 5 different players. Pick their over and under correctly, and you are going to win multipliers of whatever you play. So you pick 2 winners, that's already paying 6 to 1. You pick 5 of them, you win 20 to 1. Why would you pass up on that opportunity? Underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code Lance. I'm sorry. Use promo code Radio. You get a $25 bonus into your account on your first deposit. Underdogfantasy.com. Promo code Radio.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, Pat Forty, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, rejoining the show at @ByBYPatForty, F-O-R-D-E, on Twitter. You got to follow him. He's a great follow. He'll give you all your college information. Pat, welcome back. It's not.
Hey guys.
Hey, good to have you back on the show. It's not every year that this game means something, but Texas Oklahoma means something this year. Now, it's usually a good game. Texas plays them tough even when Texas isn't all that good. But Texas is good this year. This game is as interesting as it's been in a while.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definite stakes on the line here. You know, last year I remember we were talking about what a disappointment it was, but not this time around. And you are right that Texas tends to really raise its game and play one of its best games of the year recently in this. I think they've covered the spread 11 of the last 12, and the one they didn't was last year, which went into quadruple overtime. So really looking forward to it. And, yeah, I think the winner absolutely takes the inside track to the Big 12 championship, and they may both be, get there and have a rematch eventually in December.
This is an interesting matchup to me because – Oklahoma does not look like the Oklahoma we've seen, and Spencer Rattler is not as advertised headed into the season. But then the other story is that Texas, after that loss to Arkansas, which looked, you know, really bad, and listen, they got their tails kicked. But they have bounced back, played well. Last week was a game where, you know, they did something they don't usually do, which is win on the road against TCU. It looks like it could be two programs headed in a, just for this year, maybe a little bit different directions, but Oklahoma is still the favorite. I mean, you still got to beat the best team in the conference.
Yeah, you do. And I mean, I think Texas has a great shot in this game. But, yeah, you have to actually get in there and win the thing. And, you know, Spencer Rattler finally, I think, showed a little bit more than he had at Kansas State last week. So maybe he's starting to get it together. But this is not an Oklahoma team that can just snap its fingers and put up 50. You know, they struggle a little bit more offensively than we're used to seeing a Lincoln Riley team do. Their defense is playing better, I think, as the season's gone on, certainly better than they did in that horrible opener against Tulane. But they're going to have their hands full with Bijan Robinson and with Texas, which is, you know, they're moving the ball, they're scoring points. And Casey Thompson wasn't great against TCU, but he's definitely been the guy to get that offense moving for Texas. So I'm looking forward to this game, and I think it's going to be yet another close, exciting Red River.
Do you have Cincinnati in your playoff right now?
Yep, I do. I've got them, I think, fourth at the moment. I've got Georgia 1, Alabama 2, Iowa 3, Cincinnati 4.
What about this? I don't know that any does it. Do you believe that Iowa or Penn State is going to be in it at the end?
Don't know. I mean, I'm going to the Iowa Penn State game Saturday, so I'm looking forward to seeing them both in person. You know, I have my doubts about Iowa. I think that their record is 80% dependent on turnover margin, and while I mean it's important, but a lot of that can be a little bit, you know, fluky. And I think they've had a lot of good fortune, and we'll see if that continues. You know, I think if Penn State does not turn the ball over and you make Iowa's offense go 70 or 80 yards regularly to try to score, they're not going to do it. So I've got to become a little convinced, I guess, about Iowa. And then Penn State, and they've got to show a little more offensively, at least, that they can run the football.
Yeah, I don't buy into their offensive line. I say I don't think Penn State's offensive line is good enough to withstand a formidable defense and a team that has a little bit of offense, like, or not even formidable defense, just a quality defense. I just don't see them as a team that can get there. And frankly, Iowa too. I don't see a pack. I don't see a Big Ten team that can win.
So Michigan, I was just going to ask about Michigan. Any other year, okay, if we didn't know anything about Jim Harbaugh and the past few years, Michigan would be a top five team right now, wouldn't they?
Maybe. I mean, you know, they haven't really beaten anybody good. Everybody has overvalued Wisconsin. Wisconsin's terrible. I mean, their offense is a train wreck. So, but they've played well. I mean, they've dominated every game that they've been in. They've only had one game that was decided by single digits, I'm pretty sure. So, you know, from that standpoint, there's a lot to like about Michigan. Their defense is better. Aiden Hutchinson's probably, you know, a top 10, top 5 NFL pick. He's a game wrecker coming off the edge. They're running the ball extremely well. Eventually, they're going to have to throw it, and that's going to be the question. And that might be this weekend at Nebraska. We'll see what happens then. But, yeah, you know, then there's the rest of the story is that Harbaugh will find games to lose against teams that are good teams. You know, that he beats the bad teams, he never beats the good teams. Well, we'll see what happens, you know, as the season progresses. Basically, the Big Ten East is all going to be decided between October 30th and November 27th, because all the top four teams play each other in that stretch, and it'll be fun to see how it plays out. I really still think Ohio State could well win the Big Ten. They did not look good against Oregon. They lost that game, but that's a non-conference game, and they're starting to flex. They're starting to show the talent level here the last week or two.
Yeah, they're good. Pat Forty with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I was in Tiger Stadium Saturday night. Is there a chance Coach O doesn't make it through the season?
I think he'll make it through the season. I don't think they have any appetite for firing him during the season, but I think that, you know, unless they play much better and can get to the finish line, you know, 9-3 or even 8-4 may not be considered good enough. We'll see, but he's definitely in trouble there. You know, I think it's become increasingly clear that 2019 was something of an aberration that was brought about by having a special quarterback and a great offensive coordinator. And without those things, you know, Coach O is not, he's a CEO type. He is not a, you know, roll up the sleeves and I'll take care of the strategy, you know, sort of thing. So definite hot seat in Baton Rouge.
Will Urban Meyer have another college football coaching job?
Great question. You know, I've had people say no, he won't. But look, if this thing just continues to unravel at Jacksonville and he leaves in disgrace, his ego is so big. There is no way he would allow his coaching career to end, you know, while being run out of Jacksonville in 1 year. I think that he couldn't handle that because he thinks so much of himself. So, you know, the question then becomes, how much damage has he done to himself within the last month here, and especially the last week from a college perspective? I still think there are schools who will look and say, hey, we can hire a guy with 3 national championship rings, and somebody would say, okay, let's do it. You know, but we'll see how that plays out.
I honestly don't know why any college coach would look to go to the pros anymore. And it's just such an old narrative. The money is so good in college football right now. You have the opportunity to craft your roster however you like it through recruiting and now through the transfer portal. You typically, if you're at a good team, a good university, you're going to be not only relevant, but you're going to win a good amount of games most of the time. It's in the players. You still, even if the players are harder to deal with now, as most coaches say, they're there for 3 to 4 years max. In the pros, you have to cajole the players, and you're beholden to the players in many instances. I don't know, Pat, why any good college coach that's at a major program would want to make the move to the pros. I just don't get it.
I think it's a great point. Is that it may look appealing and attractive or sound like it, but then you get into the actual nuts and bolts of doing it, and it's hard. And you know, the other thing on top of everything that you enumerated there is, if you're at a power program, you're recruiting, you have such a natural advantage. In the NFL, everything is geared towards bringing the bottom up to the top. And in football, in college football, it's the opposite. The rich stay rich. You know, you get the first-round draft picks every single year. And so why give that up to go into an NFL where you're either getting a bad franchise if you're a college guy, or even if you get a good one, eventually everything is geared towards helping everybody towards parity. So there's a lot of advantages with being at a top 20, top 15 kind of job in college football that you don't get in the pros.
And then there's Cliff Kingsbury, who got fired at Texas Tech and couldn't get those first rounders, and now he's the only undefeated coach in the pros.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I have to say, I mean, like, I thought Cliff would flop in the NFL, and it's certainly not happening. So,
well, he was on the hot seat, though, this year. Let's not act like his detractors were hot and heavy headed into this year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Pat, here, we thought this A&M Alabama game was going to be so juicy, and CBS thought so, too. It's their night game, Saturday night. Yikes. It's bad right now. Is it all? I don't know. You can win with Calzada if you want to know the truth.
Right. Well, I mean, they haven't. I mean, yeah. Other than eking out a 10-7 win at a bad Colorado team. So, you know, look, the kid's trying, but I just, their offense is going nowhere. Their offense has been so bad. And, I mean, you can sit around and wait for Haynes King to get back. We don't know when that's going to be or how he will be when he does return. I don't know if there's a third option, but this, you know, Jimbo Fisher's one of those guys that had a reputation, a quarterback developer, and he needs to accelerate the developing with Calzada at this point because, I mean, SEC West, not many easy spots in there, and this one could be especially ugly Saturday night.
No, and when you're losing to Arkansas and Mississippi State, it's going to be a long year. A long year, yep. in the West, that's for sure. And we had Jimbo on, and he said, there's no – we have him on every week, and he said, Haynes King, we're not even thinking about that. He's not coming back for a while.
I almost got the feeling he's going to be redshirt.
Maybe.
To be honest with you. Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. Pat Forty, every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pat, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right. Now, do you have a car, Lance? Do you want to give it to a kid?
It's a lease. I'd get in trouble if I gave my cars to carsforkids.org.
You could
GM
try.
Financial.
You could try.
I can guarantee you that Craig the Surf and those guys over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, like, you have to turn your car in. I gave it to the kids. I don't think that would go great. Lance, it's a 2-year lease. What are you doing? No, I thought you said it's cars for kids. And listen, if you got a car that's 2 years old, they'll take your car 100%. But usually it's the cars that are all busted out. You know, the old hoopties, as they used to say. They'll come and haul that off your property, whether it's a pickup truck or a car or a motorcycle. They'll come and get it off your property. I mean, you can haul away junk. That's what they'll do. Cars for Kids works with the Houston Can Academy, and they will come take it off your property. They'll give you a $50 gift card. Go name another place that takes your trash away for you and takes your vehicle that isn't running anymore that will do it and give you a $50 gift card and a tax write-off. It's impossible to find, and yet here we are with carsforkids.org. They're doing it every single day, and so many of you have responded. This is your chance. You get to do something nice for a kid who's trying to get that second chance at a diploma. But the great thing is, if you want this off your property, if you've got people breaking your cojones because they want to get this out of here, this is your chance. Carsforkids.org. They'll haul it off, and you get the benefit right off the car, not the kid. Carsforkids.org.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yeah, I've been hearing this Frankie's Italian Kitchen on our air. Have they brought us any food?
No, they brought some. Well, they're Joel's.
I know. I don't give a rat's ass.
Well, they brought them food yesterday. How about this? They had three pizzas. They had wings.
Did they bring us any food?
Well, they're not our sponsor.
There's some left over in the fridge if you would like some.
Where is it?
Some what?
It's in the fridge over there.
You sure? Because last time I heard stuff was in the fridge.
I made sure. I was like, hey,
our fridge is gross.
Yeah, that one is pretty bad. But
that's gross. You
checked out the microwave lately?
I've known Chris for years.
God. Who took a turd in here?
Yeah.
I brought Chris. Horrible.
I brought Chris, Frankie, as we like to call him, to the station.
You did? You brought him?
I know. I've known Chris for a long time.
Oh. Well, congratulations. Did you get any?
Oh, yeah.
Did you get a little commission for it?
Food was
nice. Way to go.
They had a cauliflower. I said, okay, I want to see what this tastes like. These cauliflower crusts.
That was insane.
Just tasted just like pizza to me.
Regular pizza.
Yeah.
I was like, this isn't cauliflower. They're using this. This is a gimmick. Because this tastes exactly like a thin crust
pizza.
Did
they bring us any food? Screw them.
Well, I did technically go out and get some. So in a way, he brought me food.
No.
I was up here writing a player. So I've already started.
Jerks. Bring us some food. Oh, Joel.
why are you starting this? You know he's doing Dr. Linville.
I know he's doing it.
He got
it on the front. Yeah.
Don't start stuff with Joel. I don't need that. I'm here in the afternoon. You're like, what's the deal with John?
Oh,
with
yeah,
the,
no. Well, he can't get food. Get food. Screw him.
And no one brings us food.
Nobody brings us food. Oh, Gus is supposed to bring us to Greek food. The Greek Fest is this weekend, right?
Are you going
to
shut the Greek?
See it? It starts tonight.
Yeah, you'll shut the Greek Fest.
I got bad news for you.
What?
They already brought that food like 2 days ago.
To the afternoon.
Supposed to do it again?
What kind of a-holes are they?
They did. They brought a pan Greek. Of...
You think I'm going to claim it now?
No. Did they tell you they're going to? Maybe they bring some for us, too.
Where's Gus? Hey, Gus. Where's my food?
Did you set this up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you follow up on it?
Yeah.
No, you didn't follow up. Sure. Did? Because you'll
of
shut
these,
the. Is
I'm
it,
sick of all these.
Are we
people.
Greek Fest or Festival?
Where's Kobos
of Greece?
With his food, jerk?
No, he's actually opening up. He hopes mid.
He's busy today.
Yeah. I don't care how busy. What? He's building a business. Who cares a rat's ass? Where's the food and the fries?
He's in New York radio mode right now. He can't get out. We started. He even told me. I come in here. Hey, Maron, you got it. I'm like, what are you doing with? And I did say, what are you doing with this bike?
What are you doing?
Here? Why do you have a bike? Why do you have a bike
I
in the studio?
I rode my bike because...
What are you doing right now? Just help me understand why your
brother,
bike is in the studio.
My brother and my son are in town, and they're playing Wildcat right now. They needed my car. So I rode
Tell
my bike.
Tell them there's an app called Uber.
No, I ain't going to do that.
Uber.
No. They just,
you rode your bike
no,
here.
No, because they got to get back because we're going to go. Look we're going to have lunch you. And then going to the game.
So when do you move officially to San Francisco? Well, when is your move officially?
When I get
to
my
F-150
electric truck.
When do you get your Seattle? Oh, you're that's right. You're getting an electric truck. You got to wait, what, 3 years for that? When the pieces are finally made?
About two.
It takes forever with
this.
It
takes forever, these peeps.
So
let's
the Astros.
Go, Patrick.
Hey,
let's
Astros
go.
Are going
to. Give me my
they,
truck.
They can't do anything. The Chastains can't actually make
no,
the
they
truck.
Can't do anything.
The Astros are going to be right here on our air, 97.5 and 92.5 simulcast. You'll get here to the national broadcast. If you want to listen on the FM dial, we're going to have the entire series here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You can hear Astros and Chicago White Sox. Lance McCullers is on the mound versus Lance Lynn. It's a 3:07 start. I'm going to be in the building, very excited about this. You got Mattress Mac throwing out the first pitch. Bun B is calling out the let's play ball, that type of thing. Let me ask you a question. How come we, as Kings of Houston Radio, we didn't come up with that. Somebody else said that. Mm-hmm. So now that's what they're calling us. They're calling us heroes, heroic kings, all that stuff. That's fine. We don't. That's what they're saying. You ever thrown out a first pitch in an Astros game? We've been talking Astros baseball for this
forever.
Long. You ever been invited to throw out a first pitch?
No.
Not me either. You've been invited
to. My
boy
Chad threw out a first pitch. I haven't.
Well, he bought a suite.
He bought, yeah. He
yeah.
Suite every year.
You used the suite.
Yeah.
He bought the suite.
Yeah, but guess how many beers I drank on Chad's tab?
You've been invited to.
You know what? I jacked up his tab. You know how many times?
Eric Layden, he got to shoot at the Rockets. You know, he got to shoot the little free throw before the game.
The first throw.
The first free throw.
Yeah. Eric Layden?
Eric Layden, who lives in L.A. and who's a Laker fan.
Jerk.
Gets to shoot that. And your boy gets nothing. And you get nothing. Now, you did sing a national anthem at a Rice game one time.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, that was something.
Oh, say, can you see?
No first pitches. Did you do the first punt? You know, the Texans do the first punt. They're going to have lots of punts this year. This year, they started a thing where they let a season ticket holder do the first punt.
First punt?
Yeah, it's like the initial punt of the game. A game that will be filled with punts. They let them have the first punt. They do a thing now, the Texans, where they say, okay, let's punt. The Houston Dynamo, who have 5 wins this year, they're like 5-24. They have something where they let you kick it wide of the goal, and they're like, congratulations, you didn't score either.
No.
It's our initial not scoring.
Why
I wouldn't know that if
Charlie.
I wouldn't if Charlie just told me out there. I didn't have
any
idea.
They're like 4-80 or something like that.
Yeah, they're
whatever.
Not having a good season. But the first punt of the game, I think, is a really cool new feature that the Texans are working
on. Do
you
see this guy? Astros are cheaters. It's
his entire being.
Your existence sucks.
No, this is what I really love.
Your existence really is.
So this guy, White Sox Dave, who works at Barstool, he wrote a little article yesterday. He mentioned our little New York Yankee piece. Aaron got it.
Yeah, Barstool
picked it up,
retweeted it.
So anyway, he wrote an article saying, yeah, I was at the top of the food chain when it came to Astros or cheaters and being mad. He goes, you know what now? It's the most whatever story there is now. He goes, I no longer care about the Astros. I no longer care. I know that they're kind of scapegoats that other people are cheating too. Like, he's come completely around on it. And he said, and if these two radio guys in Houston are doing gabagool radio to troll the Yankees, that's all that matters to me. That's the best thing in the world. is it, because his whole thing was that we still hate the Yankees. Like, I don't feel the same. It is kind of funny when you have a guy whose whole Twitter account has to be changes his name to Astros or Cheaters and all that. I don't care. What? Like, I don't care that people. I don't think people. I don't think those people realize
existence. Your titles didn't count.
You ever see how Astros fans react to that and respond to that? It's like literally, it doesn't matter to them anymore. It doesn't matter at all anymore.
Who cares? You're just boring me. It's 8:56. Boz, the Boz is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Site Jab is now, though. SiteJab gives you a chance to create your own website. Well, through them, through their, you know, knowledge of coding and design and things like that. They will take your website and they will completely dress it up for you so that you have the very best site available that really tells people what your business is about. If you're a small to medium-sized business, your website is everything. It's your calling card. Instead of your business card, your website is your new business card, and it needs to have video. It needs to have a cool logo. It needs to have a great design and interface that is easy to traverse when they're on your site. It helps to have e-commerce available on there where people can sign up directly through your website. There's so many things that SiteJab can do for you, and they can help you film those videos professionally. They'll help integrate your e-commerce. I mean, they are your one-stop shop from a business standpoint to make your platform fully functional so that you start making more money and you generate more leads out of the traffic on your website. SiteJab.com, very affordable as well, very reasonably priced, and they've been in business for over two decades here in Houston. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
You've got to be kidding me!
Your Houston Astros face the Chicago White Sox in the first round of the American League playoffs.
Fly ball, deep right field. Did he do it? To the wall, that ball gone!
First pitch today at 3:07. Hear every single pitch of the Astros postseason on your home of the 2021 World Series. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is what we do.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save